Welcome to season two of the Give Yourself the Chat podcast. My name is Peter Lewis and I'll be your host on the show that's dedicated to helping you find the inner strength and disciplined habits to live a life of high performance. Well, it's been a while, hasn't it? This is season two of Give Yourself the Chat and a hiatus of some 3 years. The last episode recorded was the back end of 2020, early 21, I think, in the days of pandemic. So I guess season one can be sort of classed the COVID year or years. And then there was a three-year gap. But now I'm back and I'm really looking forward to getting the momentum going again with conversations with some fascinating guests across a whole range of different disciplines and sectors. It's not just about high-performing sportsmen and women or ex-military, or although there is a common theme amongst high-performing men and women and military people and entrepreneurs, and there's a sort of golden thread of self-discipline, self-leadership, and all those things that we tend to explore on this podcast. But high performance can appear in any type. High performance friendships, high performance parenting. And what do I mean by high performance? Well, let's dig straight into that, shall we? I think high performance really is one of those consistent actions that we employ. I like to refer to them as sort of the professional habits that actually compound over time. And high performance is one of those areas which is marked by consistent actions, healthy habits, but also a longer time period. By way of example, you know, there's sort of high achievement and there's high performance. And so the difference between the two, in my mind, you can really over-index on one area of your life. Let's take health and fitness, because I think that's an example that we can all understand. You can really over-index on going to the gym, really trying to lift certain weights, run certain times or distances, and you can put all your energy into that and you can achieve and excel on that particular pursuit. But it comes at a cost. In order to say yes to all those things of, you know, your physical health and your speed and power, you've said no to other things. You've said no to going out with friends. You've said no to spending time with your children or your loved one or whatever it might be. So high achievement is often, the hallmark or the evidence of high achievement is there'll be some negative consequence in that person's life because they've over-indexed in one particular area of life. Whereas I see high performance as more of all areas of our life, there's a striving to be better physically, better mentally, better spiritually, better with our relationships as a better husband, father, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever, a better parent. These things are areas of our life that we work consistently towards. And over the long term, they compound to what I would describe as sort of high performance. So it's a performance above the norm. So let's not make the mistake of high performance is just the preserve of sportsmen and women. I think high performance in all of our lives is something that we just aim to be the best version of ourselves in all the different responsibilities and all the different hats that we wear. We're going to explore more of this kind of stuff with my guests over the course of series two. But let's just wind it back. Why the gap? Why 3 years? Well, at the time, COVID was it was quite a shocker to my business interest, really. I was delivering face-to-face, in-person leadership development programs, group coaching calls with senior leaders of businesses, helping businesses scale up. And all of a sudden, overnight, all that was turned on its head, much like everyone's life was turned on its head through the pandemic. All of a sudden, I wasn't able to do any face-to-face workshops, and I was in danger, quite an existential threat to my business, a danger of the business going under because I couldn't apply my trade. But thankfully, technology at that time was such that we could start to pivot towards what is now feels wholly familiar, doing a lot of things online. You know, Zoom stock went through the roof as everyone was scrambling to get webcams and video conferencing software loaded on their machines. And we gradually got used to working in this, what we now call a remote or hybrid sort of setting. So I really had to pivot my business. And part of that pivot was to position my services online. And a great way, a model that fits that is sort of group coaching online. And it was very successful. And part of the promotion of embracing that different paradigm to my business was to start a podcast. Now, of course, anyone can start a podcast. And like anything, in order to establish a podcast, you've got to have skin in the game for a long time. And so, you know, I'm not pretending I've been at this for a long time, but I did 30 odd episodes, thoroughly enjoyed the conversation I had. And the type of podcast I enjoy recording is a loosely framed conversation with someone just to see which threads we can pull and where the conversation takes us. So if that's a kind of style that you enjoy, then what I aim to kind of recreate really is no more than say half an hour's worth of podcast episodes. So it's enough to listen to whilst you're out walking the dog or spinning on the bike in the garage or driving to work. It's not particularly long form, but it's long enough to dive into some really interesting subject material. But also like to take it where the guest wants to take it. And I like to think of it as you're listening in on a couple of people having a conversation at the next table in a pub or a restaurant. And you're thinking, oh, that sounds really good. And you become a bit nosy and you're sort of listening in. And then you start to reflect on what those conversations might mean to you. So that's what I hope to achieve with season two. And it's what I hope to achieve with season one. But season one was very much finding my way. But then we had this three-year gap. And to be honest with you, the reason we had that is because I stopped my coaching consultancy roles and I closed a couple of the businesses that I was running because I had an offer from a client to go full-time and to work solely for them as an employee. Now, I guess you could say that was my first proper job. I was in the military for 20 years, as you may know. I didn't class that as a proper traditional job. And then I was working for myself for the best part of 15, 16 years in my consultancy and coaching business. And again, not a proper, in inverted commas, job. So this is my first proper job. It came at a time where it gave me a little bit more financial security because life was pretty sort of turbulent through pandemic. And so I thought I'd give it a go. So I spent the last 3 years as a C-suite executive, a chief people officer, which I thoroughly enjoyed, working for a company that had a multitude of different companies as a group construct and had lots of really good experiences at that sort of board level, which I think, has really sort of served me well in the job that I now am going back to, which is serving my clients. So that contract came to an end and I'm now stepping back into coaching and consultancy, but now with the added benefits of 3 years of senior executive experience under my belt, so I can offer more to the people I work with directly. So it's also an opportunity to re-engage with this podcast. When I spoke to a few folk and told them my news of going back into the game of running my own business, they said, well, you're going to start the podcast up. And I thought, well, I hadn't planned to, but more and more people were saying how much they enjoyed listening to it, how much they actually got from it. And I find that the podcast really is an extension of my coaching and training and leadership development courses. It's a way of reaching more people. And if I can reach more people through this medium of sort of chatting to some really interesting guests and individuals. And by the way, this is the only episode where you'll just have to listen to my voice. I intend to be interviewing people from here on in. Thought, why not? Why not? So I dusted off the old episodes. Refactored them, reloaded them up onto my new website at pmjsolutions.co.uk. Sorry, bit of a plug there. And here we go, season two. So I thought perhaps season two should really kick off and remind myself and you, if you've listened to season one before, you might remember the genesis of the term give yourself the chat, but doesn't help. Or it doesn't hurt to remind myself and to you. So if you're listening to the first time, give yourself a chat. What does that mean? Well, it was a term that was coined by a dear friend of mine when I was talking about a particular race, an Ironman race I did several years ago now. I want to say about 10 years or so ago. I've done so many Ironman races now. I'm about to head out to Texas for my 25th Ironman. And that's something perhaps I might explore with a guest at future episodes. But I was during one particular race, Ironman UK up in Bolton, a particularly hot day for the north of England, sometime in July, I think it was. And I was on the marathon run and, you know, these things hurt. And I'd done plenty beforehand. This wasn't my first rodeo, so to speak. But I really was at a low ebb, and I really just wanted to sort of give up. And I found myself in one of those side of the road portaloos with my tri-suit unzipped, sitting down on the crapper, thinking, oh, I'm just going to give up here. Why am I doing this? Why am I hurting myself? I'm not enjoying this. And I sat there for a couple of minutes. You know, it was a welcome respite to take the load off my feet, my tired legs after the 3.8 kilometer swim and the 180 kilometer bike. And here I was midway through a 42.2 kilometer run. And I thought, you know what, sod it, I'm just going to give up. And then that part of you and that part of me in this case sort of came from the back of my mind to the forefront of my mind and said, no, Lewis, come on, you're better than this. The pain of giving up now compared with, the relief of giving up now compared with the pain that you will suffer mentally until the next race for having given up is not worth the trade. You know, it might be painful now, but it's going to be even more painful when you give up and then you beat yourself up for the next 12 months until the next race. So this kind of voice in my head started to kind of remind myself of that. And then I said to myself, I'm going to zip up this Lycra tri-suit. And when I've zipped it up, I'm going to stand up, I'm going to leave this portaloo, and I'm going to finish this race. And that's what I duly did. And so I was recounting that tale to a dear friend over dinner one night, and she said, oh, so what you did, you just gave yourself the chat. The chat being, in this case, zip up your tri-suit, get yourself out there and finish this damn thing and stop feeling so sorry for yourself. So the term, give yourself the chat, that's where it comes from. And I think it's a really good metaphor. I think it's a really good expression that just really encapsulates what ultimately we, the only people that can really sort of motivate us and get us going are ourselves. And so the give yourself the chat is really that process by which we sort of power through adversity, pain, suffering. It's how we develop our resilience, our mental toughness, or it's just how we remind ourselves to be the best version of who we would hope to be. So give yourself the chat covers all those things. And, you know, it makes, I think, a really good title for a podcast. So when I explore conversations with my guests, it's going to go all over the place, of course, but there's this golden thread of ultimately, how do you crack this thing called self-leadership, self-discipline? How do you become the best version of whatever it is you're striving to be? So that's where the give yourself the chat phrase comes from. But it is not the first example of giving myself the chat over the course of my life. Now, you've given yourself the chat many times. I have. We all have our versions of what giving ourselves the chat is. But if I think back to the genesis, that first time that I really can recognize something that was became a powerful motivator for me, and the earliest sort of chat I gave myself to lead me on a life of this quest for high performance, just being the best version of the person I can be, was when I was a 16-year-old. So growing up in Hertfordshire here in the UK, I was always playing sport. I was always running around playing football, rugby, cricket, every sport the school could throw at me I was doing. I was school captain for an awful lot of things. I was, I guess, a bit of a big fish in a small pond. I was good at everything. I won the school athletics and everything else like this. And so a natural extension or career choice for me was to go into the army. My mother and father had served in the army, and it had always been there in the background of my mind. And I saw the army as a place that I could travel the world and play sport. I didn't join the army to put myself in harm's way. I don't think many people do, really. But back in 1987, the only harm was the Soviet hordes sat behind the borders there, waiting to sweep across Germany and sort of destroy us all. You know, it was the height of the Cold War. We didn't have any of these sort of threats from the Taliban, ISIS, Al Qaeda, or anything else like that. It was a very sort of established threat, if you like, over in the East there. So growing up in the Cold War, my motivation for joining the army wasn't to go and do all these sort of fights. It's a young man's at the time, a young woman's career choice to go and have an adventure. So that's what I did. But back to this, you know, so the genesis of when I first gave myself the chat. I remember finishing the 3 months of basic training and having a pass out parade, which is a big sort of celebration of the culmination of your basic training before you go on to second phase training. And parents and loved ones come and see you in all your finery, marching up and down the square, a big parade, and then there is a lunch and drinks afterwards. It's also the time that you get given, or my parents got given, my end of term report. And in it, it gave an assessment of my physical prowess, my skills, my scores, my exam marks, and also a written description of my performance. And this is where it started to really kind of dawn on me that I was no longer that big fish in a small pond. I was now a very small fish in a very large pond, and I was now surrounded by people who were much better than me. And the report reflected such. It reflected someone writing about me who was willing for others to take the lead, to take a back seat, as very much the grey man, and very much not living up to my potential. And when my parents read that, and I read it for the first time, I felt crushed. I felt utterly disappointed. It was a surprise to me, and I felt a sense of humiliation that my parents had to read this. And of course, my parents loved me and thought it was an amazing report, but I knew that this report was speaking the truth. So I felt really, really upset by it, and my parents could see I was upset by it. Anyway, that finishes. And the next day, so the parents have gone home and we're now doing sort of, you know, it's the last day before everyone goes on some well-earned leave. We had a platoon photograph taken. So 30 of us in our finery, sized up and positioned with the directing staff, the platoon commander, platoon sergeant, and the section corporal sat at the front. And you have this picture taken of the entire squad as a memento. And so there's a bit of banter going on, and the platoon commander at this time, a seasoned professional, been serving in the army for 20 plus years or so, sort of shouted up to me. I was on the back row, "Lewis, yes, sir, I hear you're not happy with your report." I said, "No, sir." He said, "Well, don't worry, son. I guess every platoon needs its wanker." And so for those of you who aren't necessarily aware of what that word means, it's a profane word, it's a swear word, and it's a pretty derogatory word. So basically he was saying every platoon needs its idiot, or it needs its low life, or what, in this case, every platoon needs its wanker. And so bearing in mind, he's putting me down and really laying the boot in here, and I was stood amongst my peers and my compatriots and 29 other people all laughing at me, and I'd never felt so small, never felt so belittled in all my life. And if I thought the report was disappointing, then this was absolutely crushing. Bearing in mind, I'm only a 16-year-old, so you know, still pretty immature, not really with the mental resilience. But looking back on it, that was a crucible moment for me. It was a pivotal moment in my life, and this was the first time I recognized the power of giving myself the chat. I vowed from that day onwards, I would never, ever let anyone call me out like that and call me that kind of derogatory, demeaning term again. I never wanted to be considered that person ever again. And it lit a fire in me. And it lit a fire in me that in order to never be accused of that again, never to be in that situation again, I had to level up. I had to really strive to be better. He had a point. He was absolutely right. I hadn't performed my best. I had let myself down, and I deserved to be called it. At the time, it absolutely crushed this 16-year-old. But when I look back on it, that moment was the opportunity for me to really give myself the chat. And from that moment onwards, I'm now in my early 50s, it has been the fuel that has burned that fire within me in order to be the best version of the person I want to be. And I still fall short, of course I do. But that is the first identifiable moment. So give yourself the chat was born on a dinner table as an expression, but the earliest point of it and what really has driven me ever since is this idea that I'd never want to be in that situation again. And it's completely within my control to do it. So that's where it comes from. So I want to explore in future episodes, you know, what is the fire that burns within any of my guests? What are the things that they do to try and be the best version that they can be? And this is a podcast for every person. It's not just elite men, women at the top of their profession. It is for everyone. All of us can give ourselves a chat. All of us have the ability to control how we think and react in any given moment. We can't control what happens to us, but we can control of how we make sense of what happens to us, and we can all control what we do next as a result. So I really look forward to future episodes in this season two. We've gone through the COVID years. We've had the mini sabbatical, and now I'm really looking forward to getting some great guests that you can listen to in the car, on your run, in your lounge, on your dog walk, or whatever it might be. So I do thank you very much for being with me on this journey. And I hope that sort of backstory to Give Yourself the Chat has really sort of helped frame really what this podcast is all about. If you've listened to season one, welcome back. If you haven't, go check them out. There's 30 odd episodes, a really eclectic bunch of people that I've had the pleasure and privilege of interviewing. But if this is the first time with Give Yourself the Chat, then welcome aboard. And I really do look forward to learning with you as we go through and hear what our guests have got to say about how they give themselves the chat. Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Give Yourself the Chat podcast. I hope you enjoyed this one. Please feel free to explore the back catalogue of some fascinating guests I've had on the show. And if you'd like to suggest somebody that you know that would be a great fit and has got a wonderful story to tell, then please do get in touch. But in the meantime, I hope you find the inner strength and the disciplined habits to live a life of high performance.